James Bovard. He's always writing all over and everywhere and stuff, and he's so kind to let us publish his stuff on Freedom's Phoenix. And been friends for a long time. He was one of the early guys that was like, they're bad, they're bad. Yeah, I wrote a whole book about how bad they are, you know, right here. And so he's always been a good touchstone for me. I'm just, you know, and he has a right demeanor on this. He's in near Washington. I mean, he's got, you can see the Washington Monument from where he lives, kind of thing. And I'm just going, I know why you would do that, whatever. But I'm going, this is, are you a cigar smoker?
I've been a cigar smoker since I was 15 years old,
okay,
working in the peach orchards.
I was wondering why the heck is, you're so concerned about, you know, the FDA war on cheap cigars. You're like, hey, man, they hit it home. Revolutions are started this way. You know, it's like tea stuff and everything, you know.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, something like that has a lot more impact on me personally than the laws on marijuana at this point. So, you know.
Oh, so they scratched the wrong freaking guy. Okay, so we'll get into a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, I've been avoiding this Jade Helm thing other than just showing, yeah, they're whatever, and, you know, really discussing the issue. We just have Dave Hodges on, and I got a plan. Ernie's got a love plan. You know, I'm going to kind of, you know, use their way to get some plans, so we'll talk about that. The Trans-Pacific Partnership, this fast-tracking to whatever, the China, you know.
This is not something I've followed. I hope you followed.
Whatever
I don't have
you
anything
say
intelligent to say.
Well,
I'm pretty suspicious.
Well, China, this is a G7 is going, yes, and we all are against China, like, building their own islands in the ocean or something. You know, I'm like, China's going, one, like, you're confusing someone who gives a crap what you guys say. But yeah, I'm just, there's an atmosphere in Washington there that you're writing, you know, immersed yourself in for whatever reason. And I'm going, there's something going on. We're up against the they, them, those of something. But it comes down, man, it came to your attention when they started to regulate out your cigars. So I'm going, okay, so let's give you your cigar thing, man. Go, tell us everything.
Well, the Food and Drug Administration has proposed regulations on cigars that could prohibit up to 80% of the cigars currently sold in the U.S., and the FDA really doesn't have any health evidence as far as the actual exposure risk for cigars. The folks here have sufficed with the fact that cigars have tobacco, therefore cigars are evil, therefore we should try to figure out a way to ban them. Part of the absurdity of the proposed regs is that the FDA has proposed to largely exempt cigars that cost more than $10 each. Now, it's interesting. folks who see me with a cigar sometimes ask me, is that a Cuban cigar? And I explain to them that freelance writers are not allowed to smoke Cuban cigars. I mean, this is something, Cuban cigars are expensive, and most of the ones I've had, I haven't had that many, but the large majority of the ones I've had have basically been crap. It's a strong tobacco, which I don't tend to like. The quality of production is not very good. But these are the type of cigars that could be exempted by the FDA thing for $10, largely exempting from regulation cigars that cost more than $10
each. Oh, that's amazing. Well, I tell you what, Cubans are going to start getting below all this, open up a trade, and we're going to be buying condos on the beach in Havana, and I'm going, you know, the cigars might get cheaper.
It might, but not if the FDA can help it. It's unfortunate because, especially during the 90s, and maybe it's coming back now, there was smoking expensive cigars became a status thing. And I would see guys holding a cigar, holding it in a way that people nearby could see the band label on, so that people would know that this guy was smoking a very expensive cigar. And as I mentioned at the start, I started smoking cigars when I was 15 years old. I worked a couple summers in peach orchards, and I don't know if anybody out there has picked peaches, but it's damned unpleasant work. And aside from the peach fuzz, you often have like clouds of gnats around you. So for self-defense, I started smoking cigars, and it's kind of carried over because I notice if I'm smoking cigars, it's rare for people to come up and proselytize to me, except about the evil cigars.
And then you just have a cloud to blow on them. Okay.
Well, a single puff, and usually folks kind of move on. So.
Okay. Now, James Bovard, so that you know, I mean, you know, Wall Street Journal references him. You know, George Will, you know, he wins all kinds of awards, and it's just for his books. You know, 10 books, you know. Public Policy Hooligan in 12. Attention Deficit Democracy in 06. You know, that one right there had a big impact on the Air America people. That we just said, here, you know, read this. That and Lost Rights, that was back in 94, I think. When was Lost Rights? Yeah, the Destruction of America.
94, yeah.
94. And, you know, it's, and you write a lot. You're in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Playboy, Washington Post, Reader's Digest. I mean, on and on and on. You are, I'm wondering now, all the things that you've done, and we know each other for the past 20 years or so, I'm going, all of a sudden, the stuff that libertarians are going, yeah, well, he said, you can't deny a lot of this. Are you now being more accepted in the journalistic areas to where they start mimicking your stuff or copying? Is your genre, the way you portray American government or any government, is that starting to become more in vogue now? What do you think?
I don't know, Ernie. I don't think so, because most of the mainstream media outlets still have an awful lot of faith and deference to federal agencies. There are some editors who are willing to publish hard-hitting stories that lay out federal abuses or federal outrages. But by and large, most of the media has been still kind of kowtowing. I mean, it was fascinating to see how the media covered Senator Rand Paul's effort to shoot down the Patriot Act, because it seemed as if a lot of times they had more that they were more skeptical or critical of the motives of the critics of the Patriot Act, much more so than they were the federal agencies who were violating the law and destroying privacy.
Change the lead.
And I think there's a lot of that. It's interesting that the media has not been far more critical of the TSA. The Washington Post has a story today, and there was a hearing yesterday about the TSA and the Inspector General report that leaked out last week, and it seems as if a lot more people are more upset about the leak of the Inspector General report than they are about the fact that the TSA failed to catch 95% of the bombs and weapons smuggled.
Now, this is typical. I mean, this is how this is done, and we know. But are you looking at a rediscovering, an awareness, another revolutionary expansion of, or is it just, you know, the young people or Generation Next, nah, we get it, we're over here, we're not playing, and it's worldwide kind of resistance of we ignore you? I mean, I'm wondering what the battle is. You know, we're up against what? A philosophy, an entity, a you know, media-owned, controlled conspiracy of what? What are we up against?
Well, it's hard to say exactly, but people in the media especially have gotten the habit of being so deferential to the government, to the politicians, to the White House spokesman, to the spokesman for other agencies. They are still quoted as if they're speaking gospel. It doesn't matter how many times that they've been caught lying. Another wrinkle on that is to see how cynicism is defined these days. I mean, the folks attack Rand Paul for being cynical in spite of all the lies NSA has told.
Yeah, when we come back, we're going to find out just how effective this stuff has been. Is it? I mean, you know, are the people, are they understanding they're not paying attention anymore? Are they moved? And if they are, who? Is it an age bracket? Is it old people? Is it just anybody that watches Fox News? We'll find out. James Bovard.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
Okay, so you're seeing any ray of sunshine, hope of the people of something, any going in 2016 kind of anything, James?
Are we on the air yet?
No, we'll be back 2 minutes. Okay. But I mean, archive, I mean, you know.
Okay, I don't know, Ernie. It's something which I'm wrestling with, and I was actually looking forward to talk with you on this because you've got different perspectives than I have, and plus sometimes you're able to draw out my thoughts and I figure out what I'm thinking better after talking to you. There are some signs. It's interesting what happened in Turkey, that the dictator there, that the elected dictator, got toppled basically, and surprisingly, partly because of the way he repressed people 2 years ago, and the young people got organized, did social media, and took him down. So
replaced with what, though? I mean, you know, it's like Parliament. Whenever you get the people all riled up, in the United Kingdom, there's always a third coalition of somebody, and it's in the same people just moved over here with a different badge.
Well, I mean, but that's what freedom is, right?
Getting to pick your new badge, ruling you, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's frustrating. It's very frustrating.
I do have a plan.
Okay.
It's just, you know, this Jade Helm thing. I just kind of ignored it, let it go, kind of, you know, get a bead on it. And what did we come up with? And I'm just going, how can the Levolution, or certainly that mentality, take advantage of this and really hit the bad guys where it hurts, and it be diversified, and there's nothing really they can do about it. It's just an opinion, because I can see opinion. I'll give you a good example, and then we're coming right back on when I saw that you had, in 2003, most of the teenagers spend more time on the internet than they were TV, and when I had just recently had a poll when the institutionalized religions and whatever, and under 30 didn't identify with any, and I'm going like 80%, you know, I'm free from, and I'm going, wow, man, this is definitely changing. All right, here we go.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, another Independence Declare kind of guy, Mr. James Bovard. You know, this is, it's good to catch up with James because, you know, he does a lot of writing. He does a lot of, you know, he's very influential to a lot of people. And us talking with each other, we kind of, you know, feed off each other's experience and kind of we find out what's up. And you're writing about cigars. I mean, you know, there's a lot of other issues. Of course, that brings up the FDA and kind of, you know, and you get some. But, you know, on your, your hooligan book, it has you sitting there in a cartoon, you know, smoking a cigar, so I don't think it's a secret.
No, I mean, this is who I am, and I was trying to find some, you know, halfway decent photos to illustrate that book, and, you know, many of the best photos of the last 30 years were with a cigar, so it's like, but folks ask me why I waste money on cigars, and I tell them that for every day that I smoke cigars instead of doing cocaine, I save $500.
There you go. See? Okay, so let's do the Jade Helm thing. What is the buzz in Washington there? What is it? Everybody's like, yeah, it's just another psyop du jour of whatever the hell, or is there something real, or are they going to in place, you know, get this infrastructure set and then never go away? I mean, which is likely.
You know, folks around here don't give a rat's patootie about it, and insofar as people are criticizing it out in your neck of the woods, they're seen as a bunch of paranoid rubes.
Yeah, man, well, some counties and some states, and so they're kind of, you know, we can get rid of it. And I'm going, yeah, I want to get rid of Jade Helm like I want to get rid of Occupy or the Tea Party. I don't. Because it's a bunch of people you could give DVDs to.
Well, I mean, that's something that you're good at. You always find the positive side.
There's always something that we can... But I did. I kind of let it mature, and I'm thinking about it, and I go to... You know, these guys want me to participate and lend my name to just... I showed up at the meeting kind of thing. And I'm going, a lot of these guys are serious people that have been part of the Levolution, and they just are really concerned. And I just had Dave Hodges, the Common Sense Show, on. He's going to come over next week. We're going to go over some of the stuff that we're doing. And it's just an activism. I go, when they're going to back up their 18-wheeler or lemons to my lemonade stand, I mean, what do I do? I usually thank them. I mean, I don't know what else to do. It's just another manifestation supporting evidence of just how messed up in the head these people are. But there's something else. It's under something else. I can see, I think it's the dollar. I think it's the economy, stupid. I mean, you know, it's always been the economy, stupid, you know. And I'm going, okay, what? I mean, what are you feeling about... the dollar and other reserve currencies and China and Russia. I mean, how much of this stuff you've been covering?
Well, first I got to say, it's always bad, a bad move for people to take financial advice from a college dropout. It's amazing how long the U.S. government's been able to carry on the current charade. It's amazing how long the Fed has been able to pump up the stock market. There are so many wrenches that the U.S. government has thrown into the, not just the U.S. economy, but the world economy. Flip side is, and I think back in the mid-70s when I first started paying, mid-70s when I was doing a lot of reading and following a lot of the controversies about some of the deals the U.S. government was doing back then, taking the dollar off the gold standard and things like that. And there were a lot of great commentators that said, this is something which cannot last, and, it's not viable, and it's gonna collapse. And they were right, but that was over 40 years ago. So simply because it's not viable and it's going to collapse at some point doesn't mean that we know what's going to happen in the next 6 months or year.
Yeah. I've been very pleased with a lot of the solutions that have come out. You know, it's like developing the silver calculator apps for your smartphones to be able to do transactions in real time. I mean, that was not available to us, you know. So that being done, I'm going, wow, that's cool. It gives you an opportunity to be able at a festival in the middle of the woods of whatever you're trading silver and knowing spot price and how much whatever is worth of your junk. Who gives a crap? And I'm going, all right. Then you get, you know, kind of this cryptocurrency thing. It's coming. Oh, cryptocurrencies, man. I tell you, a lot of them, there's all different features of whatever, but I mean, Bitcoin is starting to get arms and leg wrap around by the government. I mean, what's the buzz on that?
I would love to see a viable cryptocurrency. There's a lot of questions about Bitcoin, I haven't forgotten that back in late 2013, early 2014, there were some prominent Bitcoin advocates who were assuring people that it would rise to 5,000 by the end of last year, and my memory is that didn't happen. I guess I'm wary of Bitcoin partly because it's so narrowly controlled. It has a very narrow, I think I read someplace that there's 1% of folks who control the vast majority of Bitcoin. So it's like, you really don't know where it's going to go. And I certainly would not be investing in Bitcoin or expecting it to hold value, even for the medium term.
Yeah, I bought some Bitcoin, you know, I mean, not a gazillion, but I mean, you know, if it went stupid, I'd benefit. And I got it because when I went to the Consumer Electronics Show, I could see the institutionalized embracing of it as long as, of course, they want to control it and have all their say and everything. So whenever I've seen governments do this kind of thing, it always, you know, to their benefit and to the moon and kind of someday later or whenever. So I go, all right, how much silver am I willing to put over here and do this kind of diversify my thing? But it wasn't that I believe in Bitcoin itself, or certainly the government's involvement in it. It's that I can see where cryptocurrencies are really going to start to take off, and this has the biggest infrastructure, and it's going to, you know, be successful to a point to where competition is going to beat the crap out of it with a lot better features. Because now we have the government, oh yeah, Bitcoin's great and wonderful as long as we get the anal probe on whoever has one and where it went, and it's easier to track. And I'm going, yep. it's probably going to go up, you know. And then Shapeshift is a new exchange out of Switzerland done by Eric Voorhees that got nailed by the man that kind of over here, and we're obfuscating, you don't know, and we're good. Because a lot of this technology, you know, it's old guys going around making decisions for young people that are all... You ever see on the internet, they go, wow, are you on woo-woo? Yeah, I'm on woo-woo. We're all on woo-woo, right? Whatever it was, some social media thing. And then you have the guys in the elevator that, you know, do some media or magazine. Hey, we're going all in on woo-woo. Give us a woo-woo tang, you know, this, and a, you know, ethnic neutral kind of mascot of something and do it. And by the afternoon, they, you know, you see the same two guys in the elevator. Hey, you still on woo-woo? Nah, my grandma's on woo-woo now. I mean, you know. So it's
that's
just
a good story.
That's just good. Yeah, they make all these decisions, and they don't understand how fluid and how trendy a lot of this stuff is. There has to be a foundational bigger thing. When we come back from the next break, and go check the archive, you know, James and I just chilling in the archive. But I go, this is, when we come back, I really want to get James' perspective on what's winning. Is it opinion? And what's the opinion? And how's it broken out by demographic? You know, is Fox News and their, you know, 15 subscribers, you know, people that watch them still having the influence of? Or is it just a desperation move? I don't know. Jane Bovard's going to help us. Okay, this is where I want to go. Let's make some notes here. And we should, you know, talk about Turkey a little bit on the air, but really what that represents. Because when they did the Arab Spring thing, you remember we did our, you know, DVDs to Cairo and all that kind of stuff. And I'm going, I don't really feel that I have to do that internationally again, because I think that from Arab Spring and a lot of this other stuff, an entire generation found access to information. Like, we still have Haria Phoenix. You know, that's, you know, popular enough to keep doing. You know, it's translated in Arabic. So I'm going, there is a lot of opportunities here. I'll tell you what's going on. Are you at a computer?
Always.
Okay. That was a silly question. All right. So go to a search and just search for trash can flyer Freedom's Phoenix.
Okay. I'm doing that. It's talking about Turkey. It's interesting. One thing I see a lot on Twitter is there's a lot of Turkish language tweets from some of my lines from, the line about democracy, two wolves and a sheep, and the thing we need is not more laws, but fewer laws, not more prisons. Those are getting a very nice bump around in Turkish.
Very cool.
So, yeah, I see the master file.
There you go. Do that one. Now, you'll see that we have it, and I think this one has a Photoshop version, the master file of it, and you got
okay.
Now, just, you know, watch that video, and you'll kind of get what we're doing.
Okay.
But the, and this is just, well, it's a minute. And what they're, we get a lot of news coverage. I'm not even sure what this one is, but him. Oh, yeah, this is the when we did it over the Super Bowl in 08. And we've done it several times since then. Every single time we get coverage. And what they're doing is Glendale police say pay no attention to the orange flyer. Now, what the flyer is it has a total information awareness thing up in the top. And while you were out, we went through your trash kind of deal. Okay.
Oh,
and
yep.
you need to call this number and set up your interview or get your mandatory shot or turn in your guns or something.
Oh,
and those numbers are the newsrooms of the radio, television, and newspapers. So they get hundreds of calls. And they know it's me. They're just like, Ernie, you asshole, you did it again.
It's hard to imagine someone calling you an asshole.
Oh, it's always retired law enforcement.
Oh, is it? Okay.
By the time they get to me, they know it's a spoof, right? So they're going, well, you get on my property. I go, we didn't get on your property. We didn't get out of our car. Just opened up the empty trash can. You could just throw it in the trash can. We didn't go up to your door. We didn't bother you. Heck, you know, and they go, yeah, but it's my, but, because what it is, it's these guys that have put that butterfly feeling in everybody else's stomach. Now they had it. And they didn't like
it. That's funny.
You know, so we have the, and this is just one of the, you know, examples of stories. But anyway, you kind of get the idea. Now, what happens when I put Total Information Awareness and the Jade Helm logo up there and we start customizing it to say things like, you know, we goose-stepped through your neighborhood last night when you were sleeping and you're safe and don't worry about it and you want to, you know, contribute here or something. I mean, you know, so you do this kind of stuff. What happens? It brings attention. You know, all the things that we were doing before was all the, you know, NSA Snowden stuff. And you're freaking conspiracy crazy right up until all this happened. All of a sudden, aren't anyone crazy anymore?
Yep.
So that's how I want to, you know, depict this thing. I'm going to use all the stuff that they do into informing my neighbors.
Well, that's good. And it's... I wish there were a whole lot more Ernie Hancocks out there.
There's more people going to be doing this than you realize. We'll talk about that, too. Here we go.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Go, wow, well, I can print them 1,200 DVDs. You know, we get them invited and playing, and we'll do something. There's always going to be something. I just want to make sure that we don't go down the dark side. And I don't see any advantage to that. And I think I can get some support from a lot of the guys in the movement that a lot of people traditionally go, yeah, this is real. This is going to be, it's really, they're really something. You know, at the end of the Jade Helm, and we have the fusion center stuff. You're a conspiracy nut if you believe in fusion centers. And now I got the sergeant that I know, you know, Mark Victor, and I, you know, he's one of best friends of Mark's. He was in the trenches in Gulf War I with him as a Marine. And when he went to law school, he went to the Phoenix Police Department, and now he's got his name at FBI.gov. And I go, I thought you were a sergeant of the Phoenix Police Department. He goes, Ernie, we're just one big happy family. And I go, okay. So that right there is of great concern to me, that mindset. And if I can kind of help change that mindset or open up, because they're all motivated by whatever information they're getting from they, them, those, and the money that's coming in. And this is a $10 billion training thing. I don't even know what the hell they can spend $10 billion on. I mean, does that ever come up what this money is going to, James?
The thing that's important is not how it's spent, but the purpose. And if the purpose is to keep us safe, then the politicians have succeeded, because it will boost their approval rating, because they spent an extra $1 billion for Homeland Security or for bombing Syria or bombing wherever. There was a hearing yesterday on the TSA Inspector General report, and Senator McCaskill from Missouri came to TSA's defense and was pointing out, well, you know, since we've cut their budget, you know, it's no wonder, the gist of what she was saying, it's no wonder that all these weapons got passed. The fact that TSA has always been incompetent isn't really relevant, I suppose. But this blind faith in federal spending, it's something which liberals have for social programs. It's something that conservatives have for defense and homeland security. There's a handful of folks who will call out BS on this, but... it's kind of amazing that after, you know, almost 14 years after 9/11, the basic fact that throwing money at something, it doesn't solve the problem is folks don't realize that. Folks in D.C. don't admit that because they love to spend money, spend other people's money.
Well, is there that much support? I mean, do you feel that it's that much support, or is it just a lack of, yeah, I don't care, I'm just wearing you down in the apathy if I don't give a crap? I mean,
are you talking about here in the D.C. area?
Just people.
There's people, and then there's Washingtonians, and folks here have a very comfortable living, thanks to the federal government, vacuuming up trillions of dollars from people's paychecks and other places, and then spending it to the politicians' delight. And it's worked out very well for the real estate values in this neck of the woods, and folks get their early pensions and all that stuff. So it's like, you know, the war on terror is going great here in the D.C. area. It's been a disaster for almost every place else, both in the country and most of the world. But, you know,
well, on the street in the, where you live, you're in what, Maryland or something?
I'm
Virginia?
In Maryland, unfortunately.
Okay.
You know, there's a story there, but, you know, it's sad. So I'll draw the curtain of mercy.
So as you're there, the economy, I mean, you would imagine, I mean, it's Washington, and the economy would go up and down and up and down based on, I guess, how much government spending winds up in Washington. But, I mean, is it a vibrant economy in Washington, and people move to Washington just so they can have a job?
Well, there are a lot of folks who come to here because the it's difficult to find a place where folks without much talent can get paid so well for not working very hard. D.C. is a huge magnet for that. And I've met heaps of folks who just kind of come here and get hired very quickly, don't know much, don't work hard, and can stay on the payroll forever. There are so many agencies, there are so many government contractors who have to, you know, who are paid huge amounts of money, and they've got to hire people quickly. So the hiring standards are low, and there's all kinds of federal mandates which assure that certain people cannot be fired. So and there's an ethos of entitlement from folks, which is very surprising at times for folks who are used to who are kind of old-fashioned, think people should work for a living. Just to shoot the shit with some of these folks and to see how they view America, view the government, and it's rare to find to run into folks who have any kind of real appreciation for individual liberty, and it's very rare to run into free spirits around here.
So Washington should, you know, it's like, I give you an example. During the immigration scare of we're all Durka Durka Jihad coming across the border and ISIS, you know, whatever the heck. And they're going, we have to have this because if we don't, they could come across the way. I'm like, are you kidding me? They're already in Washington, D.C. I mean, they're going to come and bomb what? They need a map? I go, Washington's over there. You know, try and, you know, leave James Bovard alone. But I mean, everybody else, I'm not really that concerned. But I'm just, you know, I'm not afraid of there's some kind of, like, across Arizona's the border, they're going to come get something. And they go, well, I have a guy in. He goes, yeah, but what about MS-13 and the drug cartel? I will eliminate the drug war. Problem solved. Yeah, but what about the people that are back? Well, stop the empire. Problem solved. I mean, I'm just, every problem or, you know, they come up with a solution is more government. I go, there's an easy solution to this. Stop pissing people off. Stop socially and economically engineering everybody. I mean, that attitude, especially, you know, during the Levolution years with Dr. Paul in Washington, did that take any kind of hold at all?
Well, it did take a hold with a small number of folks, some of whom are doing fine work now to kind of fight for putting a leash on government and making sure that politicians get hammered when they trample rights and liberties. But by and large, things really haven't changed. There's a small number of people in Congress who are doing fine work, but, you know, you can count them on one or two hands pretty much. And you're 100% right that so many of the problems out there are now caused by government, but there is an ethos in this area to simply not admit that there is a hold harmless mentality in which it doesn't matter how much other problem that the government caused, government cannot be blamed. Instead, it's almost always a pretext for new law, a new federal agency, and some new intrusion.
I keep hearing this, you know, we are the government by four. I mean, it's all this jingoistic rhetoric of BS. And I'm just going, man, this can't last forever. I mean, that which can't doesn't. And we've seen so much supporting evidence of this, and the youth are just, no. And you were talking off air about Turkey. Tell us that story real quick.
Well, it's interesting. The Turkish Prime Minister's party took a huge whopping in the recent election. And a couple of years ago, the Turkish government was very, very heavy-handed in repressing demonstrations. There was a great line that the prime minister had about social media as an arm of terrorism or something like that. That's not the exact quote, but it was as good, if not better. It's apparently what happened is a lot of the young people who got the government booed back then organized and masterminded a peaceful insurgency that gave a very large and unexpected defeat to the ruling power there. And it'd be great to see that government go down, because they've certainly done so much to fuel conflict in the Middle East recently.
You know, I can see the reasoning why they'd want to have more control. And when you have SpaceX and Elon Musk is going to do 4,000 CubeSats in the next few years to have its own internet, kind of bite me. Facebook does their own planes, like I feel warm fuzzy about them, or Google or anybody else. But I just can see technology is freeing the next generation.
This is Charles Goyette, author of the New York Times.
You know, that's one thing that I really have been focused on. I had a gentleman that, National Patriot type, talk show host, that sent me I keep telling, a lot of you guys this. I just want you to get this word picture in your head. He sent me an email criticizing me a few weekends ago, and he said, have you left the Liberty Movement? Are you out of Liberty Movement now, Ernie?
And I'm holy shit.
And I'm like, okay, where's the punchline on this, right? So he was describing, and he represents, the older generation guy, so I can see where this, he's like, the Patriot, shortwave radio guys in the 90s that kind of moved into, more satellite and had a bigger audience and such. And they use Freedom's Phoenix, for show prep. It's a lot of, if I ever use Freedom's Phoenix, I don't have any guests, I just start reading that, I can never get past the first three or four stories, and the hour's gone.
Sure.
So, he was criticizing me for having too much technical stuff up there, technology. And
sure.
He goes, have you been? We still have. I said, we have more stories now. We put up a morning and an afternoon edition because the more stuff that we put up, we have a lot of technology that, this generation next, they're not looking for permission. They're not wanting to change Washington. They're just doing it. I get more solar. And that's one thing that we're going to push. We're taking the entire studio here. We're putting it on solar. And I got a big double axle boat trailer out there that we're putting on these, solar panels, kind of accordion out and getting the whatever. And I want to get a, Tesla wall thing. I'll pay out the ass for it just because it's cool, And then we'll do all this and building, and we're taking our power with us. I don't want to put it on the house. I want to have something that I can just hook up the trailer and boom, go. And by doing that, that's the answer to this Jade Helm thing. Grow some more your own food, accumulate some water, have some storage of whatever, and get prepared and some tools, and here we go, and educate yourself. And, oh, by the way, have your own power. Get your freaking bathroom light bulb off the grid, something, So by